Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Bree and Aki. How are you two doing?
I'm eating real food, so I'm fucking fantastic.
I'm tired.
What real food are you eating, Aki?
Tacos, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Taco.
Yeah, I still can't eat anything too cold, because for some reason that still hurts my tooth. So I probably need to get some Sensodyne toothpaste and to fix that up, but I'll get that at some point when I care, because right now I just want to eat.
Tacos are a good choice.
Yeah, once I'm done with the tacos, I'm going out and buying Burger King, so.
Well, after the show.
Well, no, this will be like the day after tomorrow, I'll go and buy.
Pull a Purnell and just go shopping during the show.
I could.
That's still one of my favorite moments in the history of this show, is Purnell going to Best Buy during an episode to pick up a game.
Yeah.
I mean, if he lived close enough, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
And the best part is, like, you could hear the change in quality when he would go from home Wi-Fi to cell, and then from cell to connecting to Best Buy Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh, I wish I could remember what episode number that was. If any listeners remember what episode number that is, let us know.
Yeah, if I tried to do anything like that, it would be it would go from the quality of me walking outside of my house to really quiet to dropped call because I live in the middle of nowhere, and I got too far from my home Wi-Fi.
It's fair. Oh, man. So, Jacob will be here eventually. He's not here yet. He is putting his kids to bed. Do we have episode numbers? Yeah. We're pretty high with the episode numbers. Doing pretty good with that.
We're 914?
14? I think 914 this is. Jesus. Anyway, we could dive into news. What do y'all think?
Let's do it.
Yep.
Until Jacob gets here. The big news of the week, I think, is that Sony announced a redesigned PS5 for the holiday season. That wasn't cool. A huge news week, but the redesign comes in a smaller form factor with a detachable or addable disc drive. The digital edition will be $449, so it is getting a $50 bump in price. The disc edition stays at $499. The disc drive will be $79, and a horizontal stand or a vertical stand will be
$29.99. Okay.
So yeah, have you seen the pictures of the new system?
No, I have not actually.
I'm stepping on glass. What the?
That's not good.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that was a shard of glass I was stepping on. Yay. What the hell was that from? Oh my god.
How the hell do you just have broken glass in your house?
I don't know.
You're like, I don't know where it came from. What?
Well, I could assume where it came from. I'm sure someone dropped a pipe or something in the house, but it happens. We're smokers. Whatever. But yeah, does the new system sound like anything either of you would be buying into?
Nope.
No,
still no.
No, why is there a one that has a disc drive and then the digital one and also an extra sold disc drive? Why don't they just have one that has a disc drive and one that doesn't and not buying a fucking extra disc drive? That just sounds stupid.
It's for the people who want the option of a disc drive, I guess.
But then why aren't they buying just the disc drive one? That already has one.
Because they couldn't find it?
I guess.
Or it's sold out? or they don't have enough for it at the time, and they're like, fuck it, I'll just buy a disk drive later.
That just weird to me. Honestly.
I don't know, like, it's...
Just wait an extra month and buy the better one. The problem fucking solved. Wait 1 month. This is the whole, oh, and here you can buy a disk drive. Just, I don't, that just seems stupid to me.
I'm glad that the option for a disk drive is there in case, you know,
it breaks
your mind, or yeah, or the, or yeah, or it breaks, or you know, someone gifted, I mean,
that's,
you,
that's pretty cool. If your disk drive breaks, you could just fucking buy a new one.
Yeah,
fair enough, I guess. I didn't think of that. That's a okay, that's fair enough. Okay,
it is a common thing to go wrong on consoles that use discs.
I mean, it's like never had that happen. Moving parts in the system anymore, aside from fans. I mean, the memory is solid state now. Everything is chips. There's the only thing is the moving disk drive.
Yeah.
So if that goes bad, then again, they're pushing more and more towards going all digital. I mean, look at the rumors of Xbox's mid-gen refreshes next year being all digital.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I mean, Alan Wake is digital only. Microsoft, they haven't been doing anything with like steelbooks or bonus editions. Some games aren't even getting physical releases on Xbox. Like, I don't think Ghostwire Tokyo got an Xbox physical release, did it?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I think the push towards all digital, we're getting to see more digital editions in stores instead of disc editions, and then we'll see a handful of disc drive add-ons that people could buy. I think they're just, I think they're going to push hard for the digital edition to be their big seller. I just, the $50 price increase on the digital edition is kind of shitty.
That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Pay more for less.
Exactly.
Yeah. On the bright side, it will have a 1 terabyte hard drive instead of their 820, whatever it is right now. So you'll get a little bit more storage space, and it will still have expandable storage like they have now, where you could just pop in any kind of SSD drive.
Just which is, pop in.
Yeah. Pop open the side panel and then unscrew the thing and put the thing in, and then, you know. Yeah. People think it's so much better, but I really, really enjoy how simple it is to pop the memory card in the Xbox.
Yep. Yep.
I wish they were bigger and cheaper. That's the biggest problem with them. But Amazon had the 1 terabyte for $130 this past week.
Yeah, I saw you told us about that in the Discord. People, go get the Discord. You could have learned
join
about our that.
Discord. If you're not in there, you should join it.
I totally would have bought that if I didn't have to pay off my crown.
Or you didn't have Gunpla to pick up.
Well, that too. That is definitely eating away at my finances still. One day there won't be any more Gunpla I'll want. I just don't know when that day will be, is all.
I would go with the expandable storage. I mean, it is so convenient having that extra space that you don't have to shuffle things between a hard drive. It really is nice.
Yeah, I would like it if I could afford like a 5 terabyte one.
They don't exist.
Well, see, there's the problem right there.
I know. That's why I said
I have enough games to fill that off.
Like, I have a 2 terabyte, and that is clearly not enough space for me. I would love to see a 4 terabyte option come out. I know it would be like $600, but
yeah, it'd be nice if the next console that comes out, you're somehow able to be like, okay, let's play things from not a solid state drive, so that people
The point of the new consoles is speed.
Yeah, I
agree with them not using USB drives. They're not fast enough.
I'm fine.
Things won't
with
load
it.
Properly. Textures won't load right. It would cause issues.
I'm fine with waiting like 3 or 4 minutes for the game to start. I'm okay with it. I don't care. I'd rather have that, and you know, I could go out and buy a 1 terabyte hard drive right now for like $100, and I'm fine with waiting that extra amount of time.
Well, it's not an option. So
yeah, and that's why I said I wish it was. That's why I hope it is for the next one, where they're like, you know, you can have
speed. I really don't think it will be.
Or more memory. I doubt it will, but it'd be nice. Then people have a choice. You can have speed, or you can have a lot of fucking room. And what I need is a lot of fucking room. I don't care about speed.
I mean, you can still plug in a USB drive and use it as storage. You just gotta move shit back and forth.
Yeah, but I'd rather just have it hold all my games and just play them, any one of them I want, at the moment I want it.
Well, you can't.
Well, I want to be able to.
Wish in one hand, shit in the other, see which one fills up first.
Shit, so I can fling it at them.
Yeah, just see? Like Jacob. Jacob's here. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. My house has been sick for like 2 weeks straight, so.
Nice.
Thanks. You have children, so that's, you know, life.
Well, and people other than me. So, like, even our dog, like, was throwing up today. And it's just like, yeah. So, good times.
Yeah, it is. I can feel you on the sick pet thing. This might be our last night with Peaches.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
She has tumors, and they are bursting through her skin, and we don't want her suffering.
Yeah.
So we're taking her to the vet tomorrow. We're gonna see what the doctors say, if it's worth giving her more time, or if we should just, I don't know. I've been a wreck over it. So if I cry during the middle of the show, that's why.
Fair enough.
It's not because Jacob's here. It's close though.
I was about to say, it could also be because Jacob's here. I mean, that doesn't change anything, but.
Yeah.
I know, but the thing is that Jacob's here. It's true, but you know what? Today's a sexy episode. I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, Jesus.
I throw up a little in my mouth.
Just a little?
Yeah, just a little.
Ah.
I had tacos. I'm not throwing up too much. I'm sorry.
They're going to come out the other end. Important. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Hashtag blame Jacob in chat. Thank you, Doc. Anyway, Jacob, we were talking about the PS5 remodel. Did you see that?
I did not, no.
You are worthless.
I know. But I'm pantsless, too, so.
It has a detachable disc drive.
Okay.
They're going to sell a digital edition and a disc edition, and then a disc drive separately for people who feel like doing that.
So the people who bought the digital one and then realized, shit, I need a disc drive?
That's the best part. It doesn't work with the current digital editions.
Well, no. That's what I'm saying. It's for the remodeled ones, so.
Yeah.
Okay. That's dumb.
Yeah.
And it costs more.
It's Sony.
Yep. You are correct.
Yeah. Anyway, there is more Sony news. The PlayStation Plus game catalog update was announced. A lot of good games coming this month. The extra tier is getting Gotham Knights, Disco Elysium, Dark Pictures Anthology, House of Ashes, Alien Isolation, Dead Island Definitive Edition, Outlast 2, so a lot of horror games, Elite Dangerous, Far Changing Tides, Gungrave Gore, Eldest Souls, and Roki.
Damn, that's a lot of really good games. Holy shit.
Yeah, it is.
PS Plus is starting to catch up to Game Pass in terms of value.
Yeah.
Premium tier. The tier I always love to talk about. Decent update. We've got four games with Tekken 6, Soul Calibur Broken Destiny, and Ape Escape Academy coming from the PSP, and IQ Final for PS1.
Wait, wasn't Broken Destiny that, like, Wii game or whatever?
No, that's the PSP game. I don't remember what the Wii Soul Calibur was.
Soul Calibur?
Yeah, I don't remember what the heck
Soul Calibur Legends.
Hi, Angus. Okay.
I told you the game title, Soul Calibur Legend.
Soul Calibur Legends? Soul Calibur. Get to the chopper.
Down. So yeah, good month with PlayStation Plus. Some good stuff there.
What's Xbox Games with Gold look like? Oh, wait, it doesn't exist anymore.
Sick burn. So anyway, more news. John Riccitiello is going to retire as president, CEO, and board member of Unity, effective immediately.
Oh, weird.
Shocking that he would just come in, ruin the company, and bounce.
Shocking.
Yeah. Well, it's like I mean, to be fair, he did well for the company for some time before he decided to... Well, he probably wasn't the only one who decided to do the something stupid, but... Yeah. He definitely went with the something stupid. We also have to remember that it became a publicly traded company, and then a bunch of people got put on the board. Shareholders
agreed with that.
Yeah. And, you know, there are some three major shitty ones, and one of them just took over as temporary president. So
We'll see how things go. I still think the damage is done.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure the company is at this point. They are what I like to affectionately call fucked. It's a shame.
Yeah,
but, you know,
seems like it.
They hoisted and tossed themselves upon their own Picard. So
Picard.
They hoisted Picard. Themselves on their own Picard.
Yes.
On the Enterprise D.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Enterprise D's nuts.
You realize that you said the phrase wrong, right?
That doesn't shock. You say these things as though that shocks me. It doesn't shock me. We're lucky I even knew it was a saying, dude.
That is fair. She's got you there, Jake.
I mean,
yeah, you give me too much credit, clearly. I don't know how, but you've managed to give me
much credit.
Teacher what?
Proper saying.
Nah, I'm just gonna let her keep making mistakes.
And then criticize teachers. So fair enough.
Did you annoy the shit out of all your teachers too?
Yes.
Well, then that's why.
Well, someone had to fucking irritate them. Might as well be me.
Anyway, last bit of news I have. Again, I didn't have a lot of news this week. Alien Hominid Invasion. An Alien Hominid HD will both be releasing November 1st on Xbox, Switch, and Steam. Invasion is $19.99. Alien Hominid HD is $11.99. Or you could get a bundle of both at launch for $24.99. So you're saving like $6 on that.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Have you bought it already?
Not out yet.
Yeah.
I just kind of assumed you found some way to buy it early any fucking way to you.
I am very excited about this releasing. I love Alien Hominid.
I mean, like, what really makes it different from the Xbox 360 release, though? Like, is there new features or something? Invasion is a
whole new game.
Okay.
And then Alien Hominid HD is an HD spruced up version of the game. I don't know if there's any new features.
I thought the one on 360 was also HD.
Yeah, for 360 days.
Here.
This is going to be like 4K HD.
Oh.
Crisper textures, sharper images, cleaner gore.
Cleaner.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, though. I love Alien Hominid, and I can't wait for this remake and new game. Excited. But yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, what do you have?
Nothing, as per usual. Why do you always assume I have things? Stop that.
Because I hope and pray that one day you will be useful.
Hope in one hand, shit in the other, motherfucker.
It's going to be the name of the episode. You've said that twice now.
In one hand.
Is that the one that you wish in or shit in?
Yes.
You wish you could shit in your hand?
I take turns.
I just have two things that are kind of meh for news. One was a conversation that Disney was floating around the idea of like getting into gaming by, you know, buying EA now that they are, you know, they have Bob Iger back. They're trying to throw it at him as an idea like, hey, we could do different things with the company. And so far he doesn't seem super interested, but that sounds like a disaster to me. But could be interesting. I don't know. See Disney get into gaming.
No.
The thing is, they've been in gaming multiple times and they keep pulling out.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, hell, they own LucasArts now. Like, do something with it.
Yeah.
And also, like Disney Interactive. I mean, hell, they might as well just make an offer on shit. Who is it that made Dreamlight Valley and Speedstorm or whatever the hell it's called?
Was it Game Loft?
Yeah, Game Loft. Just make a friggin' like offer on them. Like they already make a bunch of Star Wars games for mobile anyway. Might as well.
Put a ring on it. The thing is, do we need more mergers?
No, we really don't. We need people to figure their shit out and stop having layoffs and mergers and just focus on what they do well for a little while, maybe. My other piece of news was just that a game that I enjoyed is getting, it's called Cloudpunk, is getting a free Series X and S update on the 16th if you own the digital version, and it looks like it's an achievement stack.
Wait, hold on, Cloudpunk, that's...
You're like cyberpunk delivery service.
Yes. Okay, cool.
You're like flying around in the taxi kind of thing. It's flying around in the Fifth Element city.
Right.
Or whatever. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that a while, like not past Christmas, but the Christmas before that, and then promptly never finished it because I had to review games.
Yeah.
But it was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I got it during that time where like Joe's like, oh, well, the show's not doing anything for a couple weeks. I'm going to be at MAGFest. Doo-doo-doo. And so like I got to play it during that time and then I had to go back to reviewing games. So I blame Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my news.
It's all your fault, Joe.
Good.
Okay. So,
what news do you have?
I potentially have a bunch, but I don't know what was already discussed in that like 10 minutes that I was not here. So literally nothing.
The first bit of news was the PS5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Activision hired James Corden to host an employee meeting that was mandatory and a potential return of Guitar Hero was discussed.
Fuck that. Don't want it.
I don't think anybody wants it.
Let it stay dead. Support Rock Band 4 instead. Rock Band 4 still puts out songs every week. They're still supporting the game. Support the game that's still releasing content and not the one that ran the genre into the ground. The only way I would want a new Guitar Hero is if they go back to the 5-button layout and the instruments are compatible with Rock Band 4. That's it.
I mean, maybe that is what they're planning. I don't know. Lamplighters League, which got released like a week or two ago, has already been written off by its company as a $22 million loss.
Huh.
Apparently nobody bought it.
Isn't that in Game Pass?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. I thought it was up on Steam.
Pretty sure that's in Game Pass.
Coming to Game Pass, yeah.
What game is it again?
Lamplighters League.
Yes, it was just recently put on Game Pass, I believe.
Yeah, it's on there.
Lord of the Rings Gollum, the publisher, apparently used ChatGPT to write the apology for the game. I can't remember,
yeah. Yep.
They're just winning on all ends with that fucking game.
I just realized they also had a lot more like things come out supposedly from employees on the inside saying that they were like
no budget
and they were pressured into like long hours and overtime with no pay and like varying other things. Like these are all the different rumors coming out now that they're like not working there anymore.
Yeah, and also apparently like the game had like no budget whatsoever and like they still expected it to be really fucking good. Rooster Teeth has pulled all of its Red versus Blue and other shows from YouTube in case you still watch Red versus Blue.
That's a shame.
Nope, I haven't watched that since my friends were in college.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been like a decade since I've even heard about that. What?
Once upon a dream, Jacob, I had friends.
Yeah, I only really consume the Ruby stuff, and that's been on a back burner for years now.
Avalanche Studios and CD Projekt Red have both unionized.
Nice.
That's cool. Very cool.
Silent Hill Ascension is going to premiere on Halloween. It's going to be an interactive TV show that I guess it's going to be kind of like that Bandersnatch thing that was on Netflix. If you remember that?
No.
Black Mirror. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure kind of thing. And so I think it's like 12 total episodes, 10 or 12 like total episodes. And of like you could choose how it like plays out per week, and it's all going to be decided by the audience. And so you have to watch it on like the day it comes out, and then next week you're going to find out like what, like how everything went via the audience.
America chooses.
Yeah, so apparently.
Many shows like that, like they're really a cool concept, but they never last.
Yeah, the thing is that like the only reason why I even heard of it is The Verge had an article about it. Like, and I think it's coming to Peacock, I think. And it's like, there's no promo for it. Like,
yeah.
Which, it's yeah, weird. Just drives me up a wall. And
video game, yeah. That too.
And, the only other thing I have is, it got leaked today that Best Buy is getting out of physical media next year, possibly as early as the end of quarter one 2024. So no more CDs, no more DVDs, Blu-rays, or 4K discs will be sold in stores and online. So
I think that's a huge shame because I have bought so many Steelbook exclusive movies from Best Buy.
Well, that's the thing, though. I'm pretty sure that they realized that like the Steelbooks were the only things moving, and so there probably isn't enough market to keep it going, yeah. Especially with their shitty shipping system.
I hate getting stuff from them sometimes because they'll just ship it in a fucking envelope, in a bubble envelope, and it'll get dinged and dented. It's terrible.
Yeah, I've never bothered to do their shipping stuff. Thankfully, I don't live too far from one, so I just I'm like, just hold it. I'll be there. Fuck it.
The nearest one's like an hour away from me.
Jesus,
like 40 minutes for us. I just don't feel like running that far to pick up a movie. It's
yeah
easier to have it shipped.
There's one like 20 minutes from my house, so I really don't have that issue. 20 minutes from my
house. Yeah, I think
I live close to civilization.
Yeah, I think mine's probably about 20-ish minutes from my house too.
What other news? Anything else?
I mean, that's all I posted to the Facebook page, so nothing else off the top of my head. I thought there was like a third dev that unionized this week too, but I don't remember who.
I don't know. I've been preoccupied this week with Peaches, so I haven't paid much attention to the news. I'm sure I missed some stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else have anything else you want to discuss, or are we just moving into reviews?
I want to discuss the reviews. Let's go do the reviews.
Any objections?
No.
No.
There we all right. Go.
First game to talk about tonight is Forza Motorsport, code provided to us by Microsoft. For the purpose of this discussion, consider this an ad or sponsor content, whatever you will. Developed by Turn 10 Studios, published by Xbox Game Studios, released October 10th on Series X and S and PC for $69.99. Race over 500 real-world cars, including modern race cars, more than 100 cars new to Forza Motorsport. Make every lap count across 20 living tracks with fan favorite locations and multiple track layouts to master, each featuring live on-track scoring, fully dynamic time of day with weather, and unique driving conditions that ensure no two laps ever look or play the same. Jacob, tell us about your time with Forza Motorsport.
First off, I went with this one just because Joe was just like, listen, we got a code in, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I like Horizon better. It's like, be quiet. Just play this. And I'm not going to lie.
It was
like,
we got a code in, and I already bought it myself, so someone else gets it.
And so I snapped that up, even though generally I don't like the Forza Motorsport thing, which... I'm not going to lie. I was really surprised with how this plays out. it is. So if for those who aren't familiar with the series, which I don't know how that's possible at this point, but Forza Horizon is more of like an arcadey open world thing, while Forza Motorsport is the more, I'm sorry, what?
Car PG.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, Forza Motorsport also has that kind of thing, but it's more like serious business version of it. And it's more focused on actual like racetracks and stuff around the world and more of the real world physics. So before, like, I've joked on the show that, you know, like whenever they say that they're going to delist a Forza Motorsport, I rush to buy it and then like play it for 5 minutes and be like, why the heck did I do this? This isn't my cup of tea. But for this one, I tried it out and holy crap. Like, I've been having a lot of fun with this thing. First off, Forza Motorsport takes the time to take you by the hand with its tutorials, and it gives you a ton of options of like, how many people do you want to play against? How rough do you want the AI to like be up against you? How bad do you want the penalties to be? Like, do you plan on finishing this race like ever? Kind of like no. Penalties, because I have that problem all the time with the other Forza ones. They aren't nearly as friendly with that. And so it's just like, oh, that lap didn't count because you went on the grass for too long. This one is just like, come on, man, just get back on the track, please. Like, we're not going to penalize. Come on, get back on the track. Fine. like this was like, it handles noobs like me for this kind of stuff a heck of a lot nicer. And dang, is it beautiful to like just play this game in action. I like having the camera system where I'm right on the, like the hood of the car. Drives my wife nuts. But I drive like play a crazy like that.
You're insane.
Yeah, I
need
love
the far chase cam. I need to see what I'm doing.
Well, I do see where I'm going because I'm sitting on the hood of the car. Like, I don't know how much more you need to be able to see. I go with that, and it's just like the car models are gorgeous, the tracks handle very nicely. As it had mentioned in the description, the weather condition, I love just setting, like, first off, I do a lot of free play with this. I dabbled a little bit on the online, but that's not really my bag. But with the free play stuff, I love it because you can just customize each race as you want. Like, and I just set everything to random and just like, just throw everything to the wind and hope for the best. I've played it in dense fog. I've played it in rain. I played it in nighttime with rain. And like, honestly, my only gripe with the randomization or even just like the selection menu is that it's like, oh yeah, here's Miami, whatever. I forget what the heck the racetrack was called. I don't know the names of these racetracks. Like, I don't know what the heck. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, oh, it's Miami. Yeah, there's like a horseshoe turn and like the blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know. I really wish it would have like a graphic that showed you what the track layout looks like before you could select the track. Because honestly, like, there was a bunch of them where I'm still getting used to this kind of stuff and I don't need like that. All right. So it's not that I don't need it. It's that I don't like it. I don't like all the, like the really tight turns and stuff like that, where I have to slow down. I just really like the, circular tracks,
like the wide open spaces so you could go fast, go vroom, vroom.
Yeah. I want to go vroom, vroom and never use my brakes. which coincidentally is usually why I don't like playing the Forza Motorsport games, cause they force me to use my brakes. As with previous titles, there's also a bunch of assists that you can use. And some of them are actually made for visually impaired folks, which I thought was really cool. I unfortunately didn't dabble into like how they work out, but the fact that they're offering it, I think that's really awesome, like to make the game more accessible to a wider audience. I've just been having a blast with this game.
You've been playing the free races. I've been going through the career mode. The one thing I'm not having fun with the career mode is that they force 3 laps of practice before you could do like a 6-lap race. And I just like, let me race. I don't want to do the practice laps. If I have to qualify, let me do a lap and qualify. But I like, why am I doing 3 laps that don't matter when I have to do the race? Like, just let me do the race. I don't like when games force the whole practice warm up stuff on you. I'd rather just get to the event and get over and done with. That said, I love the on track scoring where it judges how well you perform each section. You get graded on a scale up to 10. My best has been like a 9.7 so far. I usually average in like the 7s and 8s. You earn experience per car, which I think is really cool.
I thought that was kind of weird because, I mean, I'm used to it. It's just like, oh, yeah, you drove a bunch. Because I think that's how Horizon does it. Have previous Forza Motorsport titles done this where it's like you're done by the car, not by overall?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I've played Forza 7. It's been a few years. It's been like 4 years since the last Motorsport game. I don't remember if they had individual car XP. I know they had manufacturer XP. It may have been just manufacturer and then driver XP. But in this game, every car has its own level up to level 50. The higher the level gets, the more that you can customize it with different parts that you earn by leveling up. It's a pretty cool system to keep you using the same car and encourage replaying events with the same car. I think the achievements are a bit overboard because it's like get 50 cars to level 50. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get any cars to level 50.
Yeah, unless there's like special like weekends or something like that, like where like it multiplies that way. I don't know. That seems kind of overboard in my opinion, but I don't know. Maybe there's people who like, this is their Madden and this is all that they play.
And I can guarantee you there is, because I was looking at my friends, like they have the Drivatar system in the game where your friends, they have the Drivatar system where your friends' ghosts basically act as the drivers that you're racing against, where it uses their driving tendencies. And, you know, if you're a reckless driver in the game, your friends are going to deal with you being a reckless driver in their game. So, dickhead. Ashley came in and like threw off where I was going with everything. But what the hell was I talking about?
The Drivatar thing.
Yeah, but in relation to
leveling up your cars.
I don't remember. My mind is frazzled this week.
Yeah, but yeah, like so far, I'm really impressed with it. Like this is. I think this was a nice soft reboot for the series. Like it's a great introduction for those who haven't played a Forza Motorsport game. For those of us who suck at the previous entries, this is a good chance to like hop back in and, you know, not suck as bad at it. I've won races, by the way.
Ooh,
I know, fancy. Usually I place 24th out of 24.
You play on easy because you have to. I play on easy because I want to lap everyone.
So yeah. And then honestly, I think that, you know, pros at this are going to find like a lot of fun within the game. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked with this. It's a good release.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it as well. I kind of wish there was more tracks in the game. I think previous games have had more in terms of track layouts. I know more are coming. I believe they plan on supporting this with updates instead of putting out like bi-yearly releases. That's kind of why it's just Forza Motorsport instead of Forza 8.
Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah, hopefully they stick with it. They keep adding more content to it. They're adding more cars. I know they have their car pass that has like 30 cars for 30 weeks, something like that, or a car a week for 30 weeks. I don't know if all the extra stuff is necessary this go around. Like, the VIP membership is cool because you get cash bonuses after events and experience bonuses and special events that you can do. We didn't even go into the rival system in the game, where you can go against your friend's ghosts and try to beat their real times.
That shouldn't be too hard for you.
Oh, this is what I was saying, because you said that this is other people's Maddens. I have friends who are level 100 already. I saw someone at 108.
What?
Level 108.
How the hell?
This game has only been out in early access total for a week now, and they're at level 108.
They have to be playing with, like, on the hardest difficulty, yeah. Most racers. Ugh.
Yeah, there's.
I'll never get there.
I'll never get there either. I play these to have fun, to unwind. It's more of a relaxing game than Horizon, where it's more like high-paced, action-packed races. In this game, you're not trying to take out your opponents. You're trying to race clean and get around them. Well, you're supposed to. If you play online, you're gonna get a shitty safety rating. So.
Okay. But will I win? That's the important question.
No, you won't. Ever. The game clocks in at $69.99. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Like, as I said, this is a great, if you haven't paid attention to this series in a while, this is a great time to hop back in. Excellent entry, and I'm pretty pleased with it.
Cool. They also have a deluxe edition with the car pass for $90. What are your thoughts on that?
Worth it. Like, again, like, the amount of cars that they've offered in Forza games in the past totally makes a thing like that worth it.
Cool. And then
spend the money.
The premium package that includes a welcome pack, another car pack, and then the VIP membership, that's $100 for everything. That's the one I bought, so I'm going to say buy it.
Yeah, and I would say buy it too. I mean, like, what is that? Like, an extra, like, $10 on top of the other one?
Yep.
Just spend the money.
All right, next game to talk about, Wild Card Football, developed and published by Saber Interactive, released October 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Wild Card Football is a fun pick-up-and-play arcade-style football game featuring 7-on-7 team-focused gameplay with the unique wild card system that lets you change the course of the action in an instant with special power-ups and rule-breaking abilities. Bree, tell us about your time with Wild Card Football.
All right, first of all, I have to let you all know that I am not very well-versed in the sport of egg handball. I have learned enough things about this particular brand of sports ball to know the names of some teams. I know a few players. I understand some basic rules. I can muddle my way through Madden games for the purposes of achievements with a guide and a translator.
A translator?
No. Let me explain. So my translator has now banned me from playing Madden games in the house because I almost made him cry in frustration because I just wasn't getting it. But he's a Browns fan, and I've learned enough to know that he should be used to frustration.
Yeah, I was about to say, like...
All right.
Why are you friends with a Browns fan?
He has a pennant hanging on the wall. It's weird. I keep him in another room. It's fine. We just stay on separate sides of the house and don't talk to each other. It's good. All right. So anyway, that said, I'm a sucker for zany versions of sports games that have weird rules and over-the-top silly things, like Blood Bowl. I've also played a similar game from Saber Interactive, which delivered for me in good ways, which was the WWE Battlegrounds. I really thought that was super fun, and I'm not even that into wrestling anymore. So, yeah. So anyway, Wildcard Football is a 7v7 action arcade game. It's got minute and a half quarters. So even with pauses and, like, shuffling through menus, which you get very little time for, by the way, you're still looking at, like, pretty short games. I would say, you know, we can get through under 30 minutes without an issue. You've got online or local multiplayer. You have crossplay, which you can also turn off. There's like one or two modes you can just play against a CPU, but most everything's online. The thing that makes the game special... There's a heavy
focus on online in this game.
Yeah, very heavy focus. I'll talk a little bit more about that with the different modes in a second. But yeah, the thing that makes the game special or different or unique is the cards that break the rules. So each turn you get to choose offensive or defensive cards. You get kind of like loot boxes that you open up after you gain levels and do different challenges and stuff. You get to open these cards. You get all sorts of different liveries isn't the word I want. They used, I think, the word vanities or something like that. But you get different things you can create for your teams, different costumes, different, just all sorts of crazy stuff. But the cards for the game themselves, the wild cards, that's what makes it really different. Some of the cards you get are things like just basic stuff like adjusting the speed or strength of players. There's one that it's called Magnet Hands that it basically almost ensures a pass. It's almost like you got glue on your mitts. I think there's like a really cute animation for that too. There's really zany stuff like tar pits that appear on the field, tractor beams. You can get like sucked up by a UFO and knocked back. So there's just all sorts of weird stuff that you can do that makes it just a little bit different. As far as the modes go, you get to create a dream squad. So, like I was saying, on opening all of those card packs, your loot boxes, your vanities, you get new players. And like I said, you can earn them through normal play. I don't know if it didn't look like there was a big push for microtransactions.
Yeah,
it's really just loaded up. But there is like an ultimate edition that gives you booster packs to start with. I was able to create my dream team, which was, they're called the Cinnabar Sinners. They're gothed out as much as possible, and they have, flaming skulls for helmets. Cause why not? You know, gonna have fun with it.
Mine are decked out in chicken outfits.
See, I saw teddy bears. There was like a whole pineapple thing going on. Crows with like helmet. The helmets had like beaks on them and they had feathers on their shoulders. There was a Chinese dragon warrior, medieval knights, pirates.
And I think these are all things that are through the ultimate edition with like the legendary outfit pack. You can buy that separately. I believe it's a $20 pickup for the outfit pack. Or I think it's like a $10 difference. It's 40, then 60 and 70 for the different edition.
Right.
And there's also a season pass that comes with it. So,
Yeah. And so there's, with your dream squad, you can do like league games. You've got quick matches. There's a tour, which is like a series of challenges you can do. And that gets you a lot of your rewards and levels and things. So you can get more cards. There's daily challenges, that'll ask you to do things like just win a game or make a 25-yard pass, complete a tour game or something like that. Season mode, which is entirely online. You're just, I mean, again, you know, typical create a season kind of thing. There's basic exhibition mode, which Joe and I actually got to play a match against each other, which was super fun.
It was fun, and I used a really dickish wild card on you that took you from first down to fourth down.
And then I ran it and scored a touchdown on you.
No, that was a different play.
Hilarious. No, I swear that was one that I got a run on. It wasn't really. I swear I turned that one around on that play. Either way, it was good fun. Yeah, so lots of different modes to play with. There's a decent amount of depth in things you can apparently upgrade your characters over time, so you get a better OVR for your teams. The art style, if you've never seen any of the Saber Interactive games, I would say they have like this short, squat, exaggerated feature, kind of like Bratz Sports action figures or chibi ballers, maybe. Other interesting things, I would say, artistically speaking, like it kind of has this cartoony vibe, but also like the stadiums are really kind of out of the norm. In New York, you're in like this inner city with like muddy grass patches, and the mud actually affects the play on the field. There's a Riverside, and they're like the actual field is made of a steel diamond plate. You would not want to get tackled on that. The California one looks like it's in the middle of an Ewok village. I don't know what that was all about, but that was cool.
The tackles are something we should mention, by the way, because there's no so official aggressive NFL backing to the game. Yes. They're a lot more over the top with the with the tackles. Like, you're getting full on wrestling moves and like body slams and neck breakers and
uppercuts.
It is ridiculous. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
They do so have aggressive. The backing of the NFL Players Association, which is why they have all these players in the game. But there are no NFL teams in the game.
Yes. There is a voice announcer at the beginning and end of your matches. Not too much like corny stuff, but like it gives you that like vibe that you're looking for. There is some corny stuff though in the middle where the players will kind of like talk up a little and it's kind of goofy. You'll get like a little play recap with some different quips and stuff, like someone got really tackled ferociously or something. I don't know. It was a good balance of like some narration without too much, I thought. There's a decent amount. You can actually customize your playbooks too. That was something that I thought was pretty cool. You know, speaking of like depth, mostly I just blindly picked the suggested play and hoped for the best, which is comical because I don't really know how to read the plays. So I would be like expecting that I'd be running back to throw a pass from the snap and like, oh, I chose a play that did not do that. Oops. And then sacked.
A pass, you know, and get the 70-yard touchdown on me.
Oh yeah, there is that too. The other thing that was really over the top is just like the showboating. There's like dances and yoga poses, and just it's very fun and upbeat, and it's all very quick paced. Some downsides though. The achievement trophy list is really grindy. One of them is to collect all 1,000 possible cards. There is a trading cards section, which you're not trading with other players. You're just, you can trade stuff in. Like, I guess maybe you get duplicates over time, but you get tickets and then you can use the tickets to buy the cards you really want. So that was at least neat if you're trying to collect them all. But yeah, very grindy in that regard. The other thing, there were no difficulty options, especially against the CPU. So if you're trying if you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to figure it out, there is no easy. There is just mean AI, and it was really mean. and that's also the AI supporting you while you're playing. Like, it's very aggressive. The whole thing felt like it moved a little fast. Like, I didn't have a lot of time to choose my strategy or even read through what was going on. And that's a benefit for some people who are just looking for a quick game and they already know what they're doing. They can read the plays and that sort of thing. But, you know, with Madden, I could like take my time or something to learn as I'm going. Yeah. I did not feel like I had that opportunity here. I would say the very first time I actually scored points at all was when I played against Joe. And like, I played several online matches. I played against the CPU. I could not even score a point. It was comical.
So that just shows how shitty I am at this game, I guess.
I took a screenshot of her final. It was 6-15 in Joe's favor. So, you know, and like I said, I can muddle my way through some Madden and, you know, with the help of that translator, which, you know, after the embargo was up, I showed him the game a little and we had some fun with that, too. I learned what it was like. I learned what it looked like to win a game when I watched, you know, when we played together. So, yeah, I got to watch him win. I got to watch Joe win. I did not get any achievements because I couldn't even win a game.
Like, that's the only achievement I got. And I know against you, I got a 70-some yard touchdown. There's an achievement to get a 50-yard pass and a 50-yard run. I got a 50-yard run against the computer, and I got a 70-yard pass against you, and neither of them counted. And I don't know if there's, like, specific qualifiers that you have to get for the achievements or what they require. I think this game harkens back to NFL Blitz in all the good and the bad ways, with the over-the-top action that's just really fun, really fast-paced, ridiculously over-the-top, but the rubber band AI is going to hurt this game. I would rather see difficulty settings Like, mm-hmm. let me play easy and let me blow out the computer if I really want to, or let me put it on hard and struggle to score a touchdown. Don't have it so I'm just blindly throwing interceptions just because I'm ahead. Like, I hate that. I would rather the game be fair instead of the computer, you know, screwing with the outcome just to keep the game close.
And it's such a weird thing to say that, and I agree with you because of the difficulty level, because ultimately kind of the wild card vibe is that you're supposed to be breaking the rules.
Yeah.
But if the AI is too aggressive, I mean, my defense, like my ability to throw down defense was pretty ridiculous. And part of that was really the support of that AI. And it seems like it's really just hard to do much of anything unless you already are just really good and on top of that speed and know exactly what you're doing. So maybe not like for someone who's new to football and looking for a quick pickup, but if you're looking for a game that can be like fun with people you already know and kind of y'all know what you're doing, like it could be really fun. But that difficulty level for a newer person to a game like this is rough.
Yeah. Well, got to talk about pricing. The game clocks in at $40. They have a $60 edition with the season pass and the $70 edition with the season pass and the legendary outfit pack. What are your thoughts on this game, the pricing? Give us all your opinions.
I mean, I'm not one to spend a lot of money on Uber editions. So that's, you know, like I'm happy to have had the opportunity to see the big edition for what it gives you is really cool. And it was great to start out with that stuff. But I mean, with some of the issues that I had with the game, I'm kind of like, price is fine enough. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of stuff going on. You can definitely play this for a long time to come if you're having a good experience with it to begin with. But for me, I struggled a lot with some of it. So I'm kind of in that like try it, leaning toward buy it kind of category as far as the rating goes. But I mean, the regular priced edition, sure.
Cool. Yeah, I can agree with you on that. If you're jiving with everything or you're really into arcade style football games, I think the more expensive editions might be worth the purchase. Especially with all the goodies that you get in there, the legendary outfit pack is really fun.
Yeah, they were fun.
I hope they could find a way to rebalance the AI in this game or make it so that you can have a selectable difficulty level, just something to make me want to go back to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Bang On Balls Chronicles, developed by Exit Plan Games, published by Untold Tales, released October 5th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $24.99. Glorious, bouncy 3D platforming and combat inspired by some of the best in the genre, from Italian plumbers, blue hedgehogs, or wild bandicoots. Become Bob, a reckless, bouncy hero, embarking on a quest of epic adventures and chaos. Jacob and Bree, both of you played this. Jacob, how about you start off? What is Bang On Balls?
So, Bang On Balls is a... I mean, once you can stop giggling over the title. apparently, Bree can't stop.
No, I'm over here giggling because I like this game and I was just doing a happy dance. You guys can't even see it.
So it's a pretty weird game. The introduction has you going into this film lot where you are like it gives you the basics of like, this is how you jump, this is how you dash, this is like, you know, how you hit things, this is how you shield. And it also gives you some customization options, and then it just kind of becomes this like open world sandbox kind of game where, yeah, it's giving you stuff to do, but the directions on how you get it done, I mean, that's kind of up to you.
Figure it out.
Yeah, it's a lot of figure it out, and we're not going to explain shit, like, at all. And we're also like, you know, you can permanently destroy things, which then they don't ever reappear, and then I'm just like, oh damn, should I have left that go? Like, and so what it is that you're supposed to hop into different movie sets or movies on this film lot, and just go from there. And so the first one that it sets you up with is this kind of like, it's not like Viking pirates. Village. Yeah, thank you. I could, like, I was gonna say pirates, but I was like, that's not right. And like, yeah, it's pirates, but also some of them are dressed like Roman soldiers or like knight kind of looking guys. Like,
it's like the English versus the Vikings, and then there's some Roman stuff going on. Yeah,
if you're going for historical accuracy, this is not the game for you.
Oh no, but they even boast that they kind of sort of teach you about history. Sort of, kind of, maybe, a little. Okay, not.
Yeah. It's cute. And it's just like a really bizarre game. And the more you go digging into it, you'll start finding like all this weird stuff. Like you could find like this temple that has all these different puzzles that you have to like figure out to, and all you're really doing is just unlocking more crap to customize your guy with. And it's just, it's really bizarre. It's really fun. I just wish that there was directions, like even just like, all right, here's the kit. Like, you know, like let's say, like in the beginning thing, you have to destroy a bunch of boats and like, it's three boats in like three different locations. It would have been really helpful if the game was just like, okay, here's a location for that. Here's a location for that. Here's a location for that. Kind of
help you a little with that. Like you can use the select button to kind of ping the general direction, and it'll give you a momentary like thing in the sky that shows you kind of where you're supposed to go. But it is hard to figure out your way there.
I never found it helpful. Yeah, I never found it helpful.
But there's so much to explore, and I think that's kind of the idea of it. I actually found, even though it was a little bit of a struggle, like initially trying to figure out how and what I was supposed to do, I actually started to really like the mystery of that. Like that was very much a big joy of discovery and exploration for me.
Oh yeah, like when I found the temple inside, or like when I finally like realized like how to bring up like all these ghosts out of the graveyard, like that stuff was it's a lot of all your amusement comes out of, you know, discovering new stuff and like figuring out how to break things and like make things work.
To be fair, some of my amusement came out of just the achievement list.
Oh yeah, well you fart with everything.
Every single achievement is about farting.
Yeah, but some of them didn't pop for me. Like it's like you have to fart while you're on a boat, and I was doing that, and it still hasn't popped for me, which I was a little disappointed.
Specific one. I managed to fart in a cannon, which requires some good timing, by the way. I definitely went and farted while on fire. That was like the first real one I got after learning how to fart in the first place.
Lord.
I didn't figure out how to fart on the moon. Maybe I haven't found the right spaceship yet. There's just so many places to fart. Oh yeah, inside a clam's mouth. Oh, inside the Viking boss's mouth.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty great, and I really enjoy I just enjoy the weirdness of this game. Like
yeah, it's hard to explain the game. Like but it's so much fun. I streamed a little bit of it last night, and there was the second boss fight is so cinematic and over the top crazy, and it kind of teaches you as you go along like the gist of what you'd need to do to get there with all these mini bosses. But by the time you get to the final like boss, like the setup for it, it is wild. I don't want to like spoil it for anybody, but I was just like, ooh, like just really gasping, like how cool the whole thing was. And I mean, yeah, I got to the third section. The third section is like super wide open and tons of stuff to do. So I don't know. I got to take down pirate ships. It's hard to explain. You've just got these kind of like all these little bobs, and they kind of sound like minions, like the noises that they make, which is super cute. But yeah, it's just fun though. It's really fun.
Well, it clocks in at $25. Are the ball farts worth farting?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I didn't realize it was. I don't want to call it cheap and demeaning yeah. the game, but like, my God, I didn't realize it only cost $25. Holy shit. Yes. Everyone go buy it now.
Yeah. It's a great game. Like, I got totally sucked into it and I had a hard time putting it down. So absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Next up, Zoomania, developed and published by Megami Studio, released October 6th. On Xbox One, Series X, and S for $5.99, the unexplored, colorful worlds of Zoomania are full of adventure and mystery. Embark on an incredible adventure across magical worlds with a magical ballista. Explore the mysteries of ancient worlds and get all the exotic bonuses that will help you solve the puzzles. Bree, tell us about your time with Zoomania.
All right. I will rephrase everything you just said in a different way. And then I will say other words. All right, here we go. It's a casual marble shooter game where you hurry to match colored balls to remove them from their train to keep them from getting to the end of a path. You shoot the colored balls from a ballista, and like the train will swirl around you, travel through tunnels, over bridges, looping on itself to make it hard to see where you need to shoot to focus to stop the train. Basically, if you played Zuma, you understand the game and its name. But yeah, I would say it is a pretty casual game. There's 10 worlds to conquer, 100 levels total. There's a slight ramping of challenge over time. Like, you get different additional colored balls to add to the challenge level. So like, you start out with like red, blue, green, yellow, and then you get teal, and then you get purple. Maybe you get white later on down the road or something like that. But there's no other like extra challenge modes or anything out of the norm. You're really just kind of getting these swirly levels and different backgrounds and that sort of thing. There's like an achievement I don't think anyone's been able to figure out for pressing a duck. I haven't figured that out. Though there is a rubber duck in World 3, so no maybe shooting at that about. A bunch. Yeah, I don't know. I was like thinking, like, you know, going back to Zuma days, like there was you could like shoot an optional thing, and like if you shot enough of them, you would get certain points or something, and you had to shoot them between the gap usually. But
I'm wondering if that's an achievement that hung around from like mobile or PC, where you would have to like click on the duck, but you can't. Really, so I'm wondering click if you have to
like shoot the duck instead, but like there's no indicator that it's doing anything, and the tracker doesn't work, so I don't know if I've succeeded. But yeah, that's my only thought so far on the duck. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about the game. It's a throwback.
I do like the achievement list. I think the achievement list,
so far, yes,
it keeps you playing because it's constantly hitting you with achievements for like collecting this many of this or this many lasers or this many lightning shots. And it drip feeds at a good pace. I love it.
It's also for like a cumulative score overall that is tracking. And like by the end, you get like a million or something like that. So yeah, it does. It gives you achievements like at a good steady rate. It keeps you like wanting to, oh, I'll just do like one more level. Oh, I'll just do like two more levels. So yeah. But all in all, I had a lot of fun with it. You know, I've still got like another two worlds to go before I get to the end. But yeah.
Oh, well, it's $6. What do you think?
I mean, for that price, just buy it. If you like Zuma, you like that style of game, like it's a good price. And yeah.
Cool beans. All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. What is on deck for your streaming tonight?
I have no idea.
Yay.
I don't have a plan. I'll figure that out.
Hang on, balls. You're gonna fart on more things.
I could just fart on more things. That is totally a thing I could do.
You're gonna fart on some balls?
I could fart on some balls. Yep. Could do that. I hear people are into that. Or I'll just play some Assassin's Creed Mirage. If things don't work out, I gotta go message my gaming partner and see if he's still around and up for gaming. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, we will let you get going.
Yeah, you guys are going to talk about more games, and I think
Mirage actually.
I just mentioned. I know, right? Like, I'm trying to like leave you with a segue as I go because I have nothing else good to say. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Bye bye.
See you, Bree.
Well, speaking of Assassin's Creed Mirage, that is the next game to talk about. Code provided to us by Ubisoft for the purpose of this discussion. consider this an ad or sponsored content, what have you. Developed by Ubisoft Bordeaux, published by Ubisoft, released October 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Experience the story of Basim, a cunning street thief seeking answers and justice as he navigates the bustling streets of 9th century Baghdad. Through a mysterious ancient organization known as the Hidden Ones, he'll become a deadly master assassin and change his fate in ways he never could have imagined. Aki, tell us about your time with Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I had a ton of crashes, and I'm the only person in our group who had them. So, there's that. Like, around 20 crashes in, like, 10 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, that's...
including, like, 6 hard crashes.
I've had 0 crashes. I've had multiple crashes in Forza, but I've had 0 crashes in Assassin's Creed. Bree said that she didn't have any crashes in her limited time with the game that she did the preview last week. So... We don't know what the story is with your crashes, but it's got to be some kind of weird isolated issue, but there is something wrong somewhere.
Yeah, and this is the only game that crashes. Like, I've played a number of games for review, and as of late, nothing. This is the only one that keeps doing it. That being said, it did finally start doing it less, so that's great. So I'm not just going to shit on it for constantly crashing and ruining my entire life. Which is great. So in this, you play as Basim. You recognize him as, oh, that one douchebag from Valhalla. And you'd be correct. It is that one douchebag from Valhalla. This is basically a game that's his introduction into the Assassin Order in the first place. Because in Valhalla, Eivor, your character, meets him in that, and he's already amassed. So this is his beginnings. It starts before he's even in the group. He's just a little thieving rat, and he very quickly gets pulled into the order because he steals something he shouldn't have fucking touched, and bad things happen. They said they were planning on going back to the basics with Assassin's Creed stuff with this game. I don't think they went quite far enough for that. Personally, I was hoping for... Yeah, I like that they've kept the better parkour in it, but I don't like the combat as much. I was hoping they'd bring it back to where you could just... And thankfully, if you're playing this on the easier stuff, this is almost doable for it. But I wanted to go back to where, like, I could just equip the Hidden Blade and only have that equipped and just counter-kill everything immediately, easily, because that's just how I used to play the games way back when. And for me, that was just the most fun. You can't really equip the blade in this. It's just always equipped. You just push a button and you stab people if you're hidden. Otherwise, you're killing them in combat. I don't think the assassinations are as fluid in this game either as they are in any of the other ones, really, basically. Because you kind of just... In lots of the other games, you have it where you can walk and assassinate people, and it's nice and gentle, and it flows, and not everyone is immediately alerted, so you can get away.
Gentle assassination. Those are the best.
I know, right?
I love it when it goes down smooth like butter.
Exactly. So, you know, you'll walk up, half the time you'll walk up behind somebody and just jam your blade into their kidney or something.
And then they say thank you.
Yeah, basically. And then you get to walk off as they start to be like, oh, shit, I've been stabbed. Oh, heavens,
I'm bleeding everywhere.
Exactly. And then you had the other type of assassination, which is a high one. And usually that's when you're running or you're jumping off of something and everyone very clearly realizes, oh, you're killing that fucking person. Oh, God, we need to get away from here. So you'll be running up and you'll just slam into him and just stab him in the ground right in front of everyone. Big, loud, everything. and people get alerted. In this game, that's the only type of assassination. Is he is not fucking quiet at all. You can walk up behind somebody, he'll kick them in the back of the knee, grab their head, and then stab them in the throat. And it's like, dude, I don't want to announce my presence to literally everyone. What the fuck are you doing? But that's all there is. That's the kind of stuff he does. And I don't personally like that. I'm like, I want to be like hiding in a crowd and a guard comes by and I just walk out and stab him and then walk off. And
thing is, they do seconds. Have crowd assassinations, like where yeah. if you're blending in with the crowd, you can do an assassination. I know you can do assassinations from benches.
Those are the only quiet ones there
stacks.
Are.
Those I love being in hiding spots, whistling, calling someone over, like pulling them in.
Those are nice.
Hey, baby, do those legs go all the way up?
I have some hay carts in that game with multiple bodies stashed in.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Hey. Great. That kind of hay stuff.
No.
Okay.
Sadly, the ones when you're blended, just standing in the crowd, aren't as quiet as I would like.
No, I do miss like, the old school sneak up, stab them, and just walk away and blend in with the crowd and. No one notices, and it's like, oh, he died. How did he die?
Exactly. I was hoping that would be brought back, because that's fantastic. Also, the combat in this is kind of like counter kills. You can kind of do it, because in this, it's all about deflecting enemies' attacks. So an enemy attacks you, they can do one of two different type attacks, a yellow attack that you can basically either dodge away from or you can deflect, and a red one which you can only dodge away from or you're going to get hit. If you deflect an enemy's attack, it tends to stun them, and for the lower, easier, shittier mooks, you can instantly just push a button and it kills them, which is nice. But that's only like the most basic of guards. Often you have to do that two or three or more times to kill a bitch. So it kind of has that counter kill thing going. I would like it if you could just do that to all of them. Just because that's, to me, that's just more fun. Also, like all the other games, you have enemies that you sneak up on to assassinate and you can't kill them because they're too strong. Which I also hate. I was hoping they'd bring it back to the originals where if you assassinated someone, you just fucking killed them and they're done. I don't know why they ever moved away from that. I hate that, but it is what it is. The game isn't bad. It's just not quite as pulled as far back to the basics as I would have personally preferred, because I really liked the original Assassin's Creed's a lot.
Yeah, I know they did hype this up as a return to the old school gameplay. They did remove leveling up, so you're not getting experience as you kill people. I kind of missed that. I liked being able to kind of like grind experience in the game if I was bored and just like go on murder sprees. They do still have skill points that you get in the game that you unlock through progression, through story progression, that you could upgrade skills and whatnot. I think the biggest hurdle with this game, in my eyes, right off the bat, is the microtransactions and how much is in the game at the beginning of it. We mentioned this last week on the show that they have like five different cosmetic, not just cosmetic, but they actually affect the gameplay. I dropped the money on the fire pack. The special ability that you get is if you deflect an attack, you set the enemy on fire.
Oh, that sounds fucking awesome.
And then another one is if you assassinate the enemy, their corpse just burns away.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, that makes one of the abilities you get later useless.
That is game changing.
Yeah, that's...
And that's paid. I kind of worry that they're going to release a lot more stuff like that that's all going to be paid. I appreciate that it's a $50 game, but I worry that all the extra cost is going to be in DLC.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, honestly, because I've gotten really used to it, because that kind of shit's been in here since Origins. Matter of fact, it may have been in there before Origins, but I know Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla all had a whole bunch of that shit in it.
Yeah.
So the concept of that stuff even existing just barely registers in my mind anymore. As much as I don't particularly care for that stuff, it's just so common, I just don't care. Some of those abilities are things you can find on weapons that get upgraded that you can find in the main game. I don't think all of them in all the packs are going to be like that. For instance, you mentioned one of them gets rid of a body. One of your tools is the throwing dagger. Great item. One of its upgrades, because you can upgrade these as you can continue through the game, one of the upgrades is if you kill somebody with a dagger, their body their body disappears. It turns to sand. So
that's just one specialized tool. This assassination is every assassination. But you don't have a trail of bodies that you have to hide. You just go through everyone. And it is that's part of how I got the 10 assassination achievement. there's an achievement to get 10 assassinations without opening combat.
That was one of the first achievements I got, and I didn't even notice. But I've played like literally all of these. I don't particularly care for them. I would prefer if they didn't have this stuff, but I don't think it's going to end up being game breaking because I don't think most people buy them, to be honest.
True.
And you get similar ish abilities.
I mainly bought it for the horse skin.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
That horse skin is amazing.
Yeah. Because I got the deluxe edition, I got a flaming horse skin too. It's probably not the same one, but it's pretty cool. So, yeah.
I think the deluxe edition comes with the Sands of Time stuff.
Yes. Yes, it did. Yes. I did not find those weapons to be particularly interesting for my playstyle. They slow down time if you deflect or dodge, do perfect dodges, or I think is what it is. You can slow down time for 3 seconds or something.
Yeah,
and during that time, you do. Yeah, as long as time is slowed, if you kill someone, you get health or something. And their bodies, I think, also disappear if you kill them while time is slowed or something like that. In order to use all the abilities, you have to have basically all of the items from it equipped. And I prefer other weapons and stuff, so it wouldn't be very useful for me. So I don't personally use that.
It is a cool little Prince of Persia tie-in, though. So that's neat.
Yeah, it is pretty nice. Because it was also technically a pre-order. I also got the Prince of Thieves mission, which is kind of cool. You have to go find the Prince of Thieves because he's missing and bad shit happens. And then you get another outfit. I believe it's just an outfit. So this game is a lot shorter than the other ones. There's not as much in it either. You just have this one decently sized area. It's
pretty big. I'm happy with the size of the city.
Yeah, it's not too bad. They kept talking in the trailers and stuff about how there'd be a lot of stuff to do in it, and there's not. You get the side missions like you have in lots of the other Assassin's Creed games, especially the newer ones. The side quests are called Tales of Baghdad in this game, and there's like one or two of them in each little region, and there's like 5 regions maybe. So there's like 10-ish of them, if that, which is kind of a shame because I would have liked more, just because I've gotten used to having like 50 billion side quests in these games. And they kept talking about how there'd be a lot of them, and then there's like next to none of them. You could go 10 hours without finding one, which is a shame. But there is some cool stuff. There's a lot of different pathways for your assassinations in this, a lot of different pathways for things you can do in the game. In lots of the games, you know, you could hire, you know, the courtesans to go and flirt with guards and lure them away, or you could hire the thieves to go and steal something from the guards to make them chase them, or the fighters to go and just kick the shit out of the guards so you could kind of move around unseen. This game has something like that, but instead of paying them, you give them tokens that you basically steal from people by pickpocketing them. And they act very much the same. Each one has their own little token that you have to have. And with these, they actually unlock different ways to get through missions, even, because you don't just use them, say, hey, yeah, go distract these guards in whichever of the three ways you guys distract them. Instead, in some missions, they might be like, you have to find a way to get into this building. And you can find two different ways. One of them is fighters. They'll open up a way for you, and they'll attack a bunch of people by going through this side door and starting up some shit, and you just sneak around while they're stirring up shit. Or you can go and talk to this merchant instead, and give him one of the merchant coins, and he'll just pretend you're his assistant and just walk you right into the place through a different set of doors. And once you get where you're going, you'll be like, okay, cool, thanks for the help. And you can just leave the person and bypass a bunch of stuff that way too. And they lead you to completely different areas in the same general facility. Usually all of these basically still end with you doing the same thing, but it gets you two different entrances into the area, basically. Or you can say fuck it and just walk up there and start killing everybody and just walk in through the front doors like a psychopath. My chosen way of doing it, generally. So that's an interesting thing that they've pulled up. It's interesting. I don't think it's super useful, and I don't think most people are going to care about it, but it is an interesting thing that occasionally do. You also get different ways of assassinating targets, and sometimes you can use other groups like that to cause issues, to bring them to an area where you can do what's called a cinematic kill. Whereas in lots of ways, you can sneak up on into somebody and just stab them and be done with it. But you can also do stuff to get them to go to a certain area where you can assassinate them. And then a little cutscene plays that shows you assassinating them in a very specific manner, which is really cool. I've only managed to get one of those so far, but I also haven't killed more than one of them so far, because I spent a lot of this game unlocking the entire map, basically. It's one of the first things I do in the game, because I don't like having to travel. I like to get all the fast travel points unlocked and I'm then the same start way. Going with it. Yeah. So I have all the collectibles except for one. I have all the fast travel points unlocked. I've done everything at this point. I'm still working on the Prince of Thieves little pre-order mission, which is only available after you've beaten the first assassination target, which is why it's not already done. And yeah, once I'm done with that, I'm just gonna start doing all the main missions and getting through it so I can collect the last collectible that is only available after you beat the game. Yeah, there are seven books that you can collect as a side quest, and one of them's just an area that doesn't open until the end of the game. It's post game book collecting, and that's it. It's just the one book.
Well, Mirage clocks in at $49.99. What are your thoughts on it?
When the game wasn't crashing, I thought it was really fun. I had a lot of fun with it. If you like the newer games rather than the older games, I think this is still going to be more up your alley. If you haven't really liked the newer games, I don't think this is going to go far enough back to make you like it. So yeah, if you've liked all of them, definitely this is probably going to be for you. I don't think it's quite as well done as all the other ones have been, but it's still really fun to me. So I think it's a buy it if you like both sets. It's a buy it if you like the newer ones. And it's probably a miss if you only really like the older games.
Sounds good. Yep. All right, next up is Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle, developed by Renegade Sector Games and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released October 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. Medieval fantasy meets retro style in the side-scrolling adventure through low-poly 3D environments. Jacob, what is Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle?
All right, first off, I'm not going to say the whole title every single time.
You're not going to say Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle every time that you refer to Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle?
No, I'm not going to say Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle every single time.
You just did it.
That was the point.
Yeah, you ruined it, Aki.
Good job, Aki.
So Jacob, tell us about Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle.
So, with Diorama Dungeon Crawl, Master of the Living Castle. All right, seriously, I'm not going to say it again. it is a really unique looking game, and I absolutely love pretty much just what they've done. Like, you know how, like, in stores, like, you can buy, like, those woodcut or model kits of, like, old NES games, and, like, you know, these things are definitely not, like, legitimate you know, first party things. These are definitely bootlegs, but, like, you know, like little like woodcut dioramas that you could buy of like Blaster Master, Ninja Gaiden, or Metroid and stuff like that. And like they take the pixel art and make like the 2D like NES screen that we were so used to seeing and make it into like a 3D image. This is exactly like that, except you get to run around and play in it, which also brings up all the issues of what it would be like to run around and play in that kind of thing. So a lot of it. So first off, this can be a disorienting game for some. My wife cannot handle looking at this game without wanting to throw up. it's just, I mean, she can't do 3D, like 3D movies and stuff like that. And with this one, she was just like, yes, I'm about to get ill. I love it. It just like, it takes the old, you know, 2D side scrollers, makes it 3D. And so you're operating still in a 3D environment, but some of it still plays out like a 2D environment, and you have to move around and figure out where the heck you're going to go next. And a lot of like, it's weird describing it because it still plays like a old retro game. And so like things that you'd normally be like, oh, okay, I could do this in a 3D game. No, because we're still playing by those old retro 2D rules. And so what ends up happening is that a lot of the time, like, especially when you're facing off against enemies, it isn't so much where you are on the map, but like how good you are at timing things. And so like when you're going to be attacking your enemy, your attacks are a little slow. So you have to figure out like where exactly you need to be in relation to your enemy and when you need to start swinging your weapon. Which for me early on was a very, difficult thing to master. And I still don't quite have the hang of it. Like I'm doing better, but still not, you know, still not the best. Meanwhile, I saw that Carnage is already like, 1K'd this. So it's a lot of timing stuff, and it could be frustrating just like those old games. Especially when you have to think in three dimensions on this now, instead of just like a simple, oh, well, I just can't be up. Yeah, well, you can't be going up the stairs while people are shooting fireballs because your head is now poking up just enough for that fireball to slap you in the head and then knock you back down the stairs. So let me just put it to you this way. This game is a challenge. It is a worthy challenge. I'm having a lot, like, I'm having fun with it. But I think this is going to end up being more for something like, this is going to be more for people who, again, are looking for the challenge of like those old school retro games. I can also see the speedrunning community get into this game too. which would be fun to see how people manage to break it and find like little exploits here and there within the game to like, you know, warp ahead or whatever. But yeah, like aside from like the difficulty curve on it, because again, you do have to take a lot of time to like figure out just how, I don't want to say how like how everything works, but it's just you got to get that timing down with this thing. And that's honestly like a lot of it. The game isn't like the game itself isn't, it's just like the game itself isn't hard per se, but it, you're going to be dying a lot. And as you memorize like where you need to be, what you need to be doing to the, to move on to the next thing. Again, it's an, it plays like an old retro game. So if you like, honestly, I'd recommend watching the YouTube trailer for it. See if you dig it. And if you do, definitely try it out. Right? Heck, I'm still going to recommend people buying this game, but definitely check it out before you just like, just don't blindly buy this. I mean, you could if you want, but I would definitely recommend checking it out just so you get an idea of what this game looks like and how it's going to play before you get into it.
Overall, sounds like a try it.
See, the thing is that I feel like it's a unique enough and like interesting enough game that I would actually recommend a purchase on it. like, but I also recognize it's not going to be for everyone. Yeah. So, I mean, I still enthusiastically say buy it, but give it a look to see if this might be your, like, might not be your bag.
Or if it makes you sick.
Right. Or if it makes you sick.
All right. One final game to talk about tonight is called Torn Away, developed by Paralesque, published by Overgames, released October 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $12.99, coming October 21st to Switch, PS4, PS5. Torn Away is an interactive story with a unique blend of adventure game, side-scrolling, and cinematic first-person levels. Experience the tragedy of World War II through the eyes of a child and survive without losing your humanity in this war-torn world where only the strongest prevail. Aki, tell us about your time with Torn Away.
So, in this, you play as a young Russian girl, and this is during World War II. You and your parents are having breakfast one morning, and on the radio suddenly you hear, oh, Germany has decided to come in and just start randomly attacking Russia. Oh no. And then it skips ahead. Your father's off to war. Your world is a lot more drab and colorless. And everything kind of seems to suck just a little bit, but you're still upbeat and cheerful and talking to your imaginary friends and preparing for your mother's birthday. And then, you know, shit gets worse. Because of course it does. And you start talking to basically a mitten that you sewed buttons as eyes onto. and that becomes your companion for the rest of the game as it talks to you from that point forward. And yeah. Lots of this game is just going from one side to the other, doing some very basic platforming. Occasionally, it has you do interactions with things like, oh, here, now you have to fix boots. So grab this item to wipe glue into all the open spaces. And then grab a piece of leather, put it over it, and voila, you're done. So it's not particularly hard. Occasionally it goes into first-person mode, usually again for you to just run around. It's nothing crazy. And this game is all about how depressed can we make you before you decide to turn off the game permanently.
Oh God.
Yeah. Things do not go well for this little girl, and they don't ever start getting better. They just plateau and then get worse, and then plateau again and then get worse. this is not going to be a happy, fun time game for you. This is going to be, do you want to cry? If so, play this. If not, don't play this. It's very simple there. It very much shows some of the realities of war. You know, some people are able to survive in it and life gets better, and other people survive in it and they've lost everything and life just kind of fucking sucks. And yeah, this throws that very much in your face, that, you know, people can be cheerful and they can want a lot of things and be trying their best to get what they want and go where they need to go. And life isn't always friendly. Sometimes life just sucks and, you know, shit happens. So yeah, be prepared. The game can be beaten in about 5-ish hours, maybe less. I thought it was, I don't really want to use the term fun for this game, honestly, but it was a lack of a better term. It was a fun game. I rather enjoyed the young girl interacting with her mitten. She only has one. She doesn't have the second one. Don't know why, but it talks with her and it's a soldier, more or less. And it acts like the way they interact with each other is just kind of amusing sometimes. So if you're ever like, I don't really like things being quiet, you don't have to worry in this game. That mitten talks a lot. He almost never shuts the fuck up. Kind of like Jacob usually. Yeah. Low hanging.
Which fruit, is funnily, but, you know. which is funny because I always turn off my mic for your reviews out of respect. Because I'm not a dick like some people.
Yeah, Joe.
My bad.
So yeah. I can't really give you too much in the details because the game's so short. But it covers more or less like 6 or 7 days in this girl's life, and it's not like, oh, it's just this week of this girl's life. No, it's like day one is when her family is sitting at the table. And then it's like, oh, now it's day like 600 and something. So 2 years in of living in this shit. And then it's like, oh, here's 800 and something days in. Basically, this is 6 or 7 days within like the span of 3-ish years of this girl just living in hell, basically. And just trying to get by to live, to get back to family. And it's not happy, from beginning to end. There, it just doesn't really get happy. So yeah, there you go.
Nice. Well, locks in at $13. What are your thoughts?
If you want a depressing game that's going to make you cry, I totally suggest this. If you like a somewhat realistic depictions of war, I can totally suggest this. If you don't like either of those things, then, well, I don't suggest it. Personally, I thought it's really well made, very nice quality. It's very hard to recommend this to anyone else, though, because it's just Depression the Game could have been the name of this, and I would have said, yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, good game, totally recommend it. Hard to recommend it though to anyone except for those two groups of people.
Cool. Well, if that sounds like it's for you, give it a go.
yeah, if you need to cry one day, just go play it. Yo, it'll help.
I have a feeling I'm gonna be doing a lot of crying tomorrow.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yay. Anyway, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Thanks to you two for being here, hanging out, doing your thing. Thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing as well. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Banana!
All right, I guess if Jacob doesn't have anything else, that's the final word.